COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm doing hand signals.
That's the hand signals for Patreon only. Yeah. Welcome to Minnesota 230.
Oh, we're
all magic. We're feeling magical today. We're magic-y.
Did you guys like that? Did you guys vibe that? Was that?
I did.
I didn't. Oh, you mean your episode?
Yeah.
I thought you meant you going. Too long.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Didn't vibe that, but the episode was fun.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I usually go a totally other route with those where I'm like writing every single word of the entire 5 hours that I have you there.
This time you just found a magazine.
Well, not just that. I like didn't write that much. Like mostly it was us talking, right? Like it was a much different kind of vibe, but I enjoyed it.
Sometimes those are fun. Yeah.
I do have a strange one for you today that is light and probably unlike both a yearn, if you want me to jump into it.
Yeah, take it away.
Go nuts.
This is from People, and I'm just going to go through the story without reading the headline. It's from a couple days ago, 3 days ago at the time of recording. This mother, Cassie, and her family were in Washington, D.C. on Thanksgiving trip, and they went to the museum that is part of the Ford's Theater, where Abraham Lincoln was killed. And they were walking around in the museum. And she told her 3-year-old Lainey that they were somewhere, you know, historical, and that she needed to be kind of respectful in the place, right? It's where Abraham Lincoln was shot, right? And so she gave Lainey like a rundown of what occurred, explained that John Wilkes Booth hurt President Lincoln, and she like got fixated on it. And she was trying to say, you know, he's gone. It happened a long time ago. But she couldn't like let go of it. So like even she's leaving, there's a statue downstairs in the museum. She's like, is that John Wilkes Booth? And they're like, no, that's not John Wilkes Booth. So she's like super nervous. They go a couple of days later to the Lincoln Memorial. She's like, there's the dude that got shot by John Wilkes Booth. And for the next few days, for the next few weeks, it's not like every day they talk about John Wilkes Booth, but John Wilkes Booth comes up pretty regularly with Lainey for a long time. They're at church one time. Here's the quote exactly. We were at church one Sunday and the preacher was talking about how Jesus loved us. She looked at me and said, Mommy, I love Jesus. I said, that's awesome. I'm glad you do, Cassie recalls. She said, Jesus loved us. Loves us. I said, that's right. She said, you know who we don't love? I said, who? She said, John Wilkes Booth. It's not something that we tried to bring up to her, but she's aware that John Wilkes Booth was not a great guy.
That's incredible.
And as part of what's happened is now that she has to. So here's the next quote. She was afraid to lie in her bed one night. I said, it's okay. You're safe. You're in your room. Nobody can bother you in your own house. She said, yeah, but what if John Wilkes Booth is under my bed? Like, what if he's hiding? And she said, he is not on this planet anymore. He existed a long time ago. But to her, that means yesterday. And it made her feel better. But she said, what if he comes and tries to take my stuffed animals away? And
he is notorious for his stuffed animal collection.
He really is serious. So I brought as the last bit of this show and tell about Lainey and her unfortunate obsession with John Wilkes Booth. She's pretty cute. She's pretty funny. So here's a little slideshow that first mentions it on TikTok that I just thought was like really funny. And you can kind of like explain it to everybody as you watch it, because I thought it was just well told story.
So loud. Holy shit. Makes me take pictures of her and her imaginary.
What?
Cute little girl.
What am I?
Scared of John Wilkes Booth. Yep. She's got an invisible friend called Bobby Pickles, and she's basically just terrified of John Wilkes Booth.
I mean, he shot people. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a funny thing to get fixated on and to follow you around your house. I just did an article recently on somebody who told their babysitter to check the bed because there was a man under there, and they checked and there was a man under there. So I thought this was this was a funny follow up because John Wilkes Booth is not on this planet anymore. He existed long ago is a funny notion, and I didn't think that I'd be confronting today. So thank you for bearing with me for this weird news story.
I love it. Jesse, why don't you go? You were very excited.
I am very excited. So this story is brought to us. It's not even a story. It's a conspiracy theory that is of the highest level.
Okay.
Genuinely one of the highest level conspiracy theories. So Los Angeles influencer and
what is a Los Angeles influencer?
Well, you are, guy actually. Here's what we'll say. If you go to his Instagram, when I say Los Angeles influencer, you will immediately know exactly what I'm referring to.
Okay.
Here you go. That's his Instagram. I don't want to call this man out by name, but I will say that.
What a name, though. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, his entire thing is, one, I can help you make lots and lots of money.
I think I saw this dude in that fucking
conspiracies are very real, and I know conspiracy theories.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, he is.
So he's that level of influencer where he's posting a lot of pictures of him being at like very important things, and he does I Can Help You Make Money podcasts, but also podcasts about conspiracy theories. And I must stress, I don't know who this person is.
We like clap,
every
bro.
Influencer who's like, I'm rich, I'm famous, I go to parties, follow me. And you're like, dude,
followers than who you? Are you?
He's not that. For somebody whose profile pics at the Taj Mahal, he's not that active on here.
I'm just, yeah. It definitely has the vibe of like fake it till you make it. Bless his sweet soul. Here's what I'll say. His entire thing is about, you know, making bucks, conspiracy theories, but the conspiracies that he's involved in are the best. I don't care what anyone says. This is the shit. These are the conspiracy theories we need. Not the ones that are, you know, causing people to go full crazy. Just the ones that make you say, huh, were you on drugs when you thought this up? And that's, I believe that about this man. Here we go. This is my favorite thing I've ever read. Wild conspiracy theories emerge from the depths of the internet claiming that Mountain Dew flavors have foretold disaster.
What?
Oh, okay. I'm that's in
right.
so far.
That's right. Mountain what? Dew is the Mothman of the modern age.
Awesome.
All this comes, of course, from our Instagram celeb here who hosts a podcast. And during that one of the episodes, he began to explain that Mountain Dew's new flavors correlate with certain events. And he's worried because they're pushing a brand new flavor right now.
This is the dark side of tarot right here.
Yeah. He pointed out the following, and thank God for this article. It's the Daily Mail, so you know it's pure trash. This is great. Mountain Dew, he commented on an Instagram video. By the way, in the video, he goes, keep your voice down. They don't want people to know.
He's
this.
Like,
come here. Yeah, come here. This could be very important. Mountain Dew has even joked about this, by the way. I guess they were alerted, which is, makes it even funnier. Apparently, you can just make things up now, which is awesome. And we should do that. We should start like Taco Bell. Each new Taco Bell item is related to the death of a president.
I'll do it right now. Hold on. I'll do it right now. Give me 1 second. Give me one second.
While you look it up, this is what he discovered. It's awesome. I love this. All right. He shared in his latest episode, he outlines the connections between Mountain Dew flavors and major disasters. Here we go. He pointed out that Code Red, which launched May 2001, just months before 9/11, widely referred to as a Code Red emergency.
Was it?
I don't remember that being
I've
a Code
I've never
Red
heard
emergency.
The phrase Code Red actually afforded to anything besides like maybe like the Thunderbolts, like our go, like those Thunderbolts and Command Red. And Conquer. Like,
I don't remember a Code Red, but that's what he says. Then in 2019,
a few good men, you ordered a Code Red.
Okay.
Did you order the Code Red?
Yeah, I mean, we did have that chart for a while that Bush had, where there'd be the different
the terrorism
threat
chart.
Level
yeah.
red or like th- yeah, you know yeah. like that kind of stuff. But
how quaint.
I don't remember Code Red anyway. In 2019, by the way, Mountain Dew was like, you know what? They almost caught us. We got to stop. But in 2019, they came up with another flavor, Mountain Dew Maui Burst. Any guess what he's associating that with?
Hawaii. A volcano?
The Maui fires, yes.
Hell yeah.
That happened in 2023, years later. But what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's just
they
like,
planned it. They, don't you see?
Just like,
don't you see they planned
part
it?
Part of the script,
it's just
bro.
Like, oh, the fucking Ten of Wands.
Well, I love this. A Facebook user shared a can of Maui Blast with the caption, no such thing as a coincidence.
God
no
damn,
such
dude.
Thing?
No such
no
thing.
No such thing.
Actually.
Never?
No.
My favorite is then another comment said, it's not predictive programming. It's the script. They know it, write it, and implement it.
Huh?
Continuing
wait, say that one more time.
It's not predictive programming. It's the script. They know it, write it, and implement it. In this
who
case,
are they? What is
they? This? Wait. Whoa, just you wait. Just you wait for the rabbit hole. It's hilarious. This is perfect. On August 8th, 2023, high winds and dry weather caused wildfires to develop. This was the Maui one. A lot of people died. Lots of land was lost. Lots of housing structures. 201 people confirmed dead as a result. And they were saying Maui Burst was the cause of that. Then in 2024, the flavor Star Spangled Splash was related to the collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, noting that Star Spangled Banner, right, the patriotic name, suggests it was no accident. On March 26th, the ship suffered a power outage and crashed into one of the Key Bridge's support columns, causing the entire bridge to come down, killing 6 construction workers.
This is broken tarot.
Yeah, this is just...
Oh, just wait.
This
just,
is what evil
more.
Is doing with magic right now, dude.
Right.
But then Mountain Dew introduced Pitch Black, a limited time flavor made exclusive in 2024. It foretold the July 2024 CrowdStrike outage that caused widespread IT disruptions. Pitch Black, guys. But
that's
wait.
What that was for? The CrowdStrike?
That's what it's for.
Better options, yep. I feel like.
That it affected like more than 8 million devices around the world. But on his most recent, he said the following. That the next flavor, which is, I guess, Mountain Dew Baja Midnight.
Uh-oh.
Another tech outage in Baja?
I don't know.
A complete obliteration of the rights of immigrants in America?
Well, you would think so. More Let me see. Anything. He says the exact thing, which I think is even funnier, because it isn't you know, it's not one of those things where it's like, ah, yeah, here we go. Because you would think, oh, it's related to the border or whatever. No, this one is, the new flavor could be referring to the witching hour, which is midnight. He said in an Instagram video, my guess is we're going to see something very weird on a paranormal level or something that is going to make us question everything.
So clear.
Baja Mint. Now, he could have said border, could have something with the border, but no, he went with it's paranormal. Just, it's
wild. So Baja Midnight, he thinks aliens are landing in Baja, California at midnight.
At midnight, I guess, is what all we're right. going
to get. This I'll be there.
The best part of this is the various hosts of the show, as they were talking, highlighted the fact that the reason all this makes sense is because Mountain Dew is owned by PepsiCo, and Pepsi worked with the CIA in the 1970s.
To do what?
Great question.
No.
When asked, does the CIA work with Pepsi? On the podcast, dude responded, I think it's confirmed at this point.
Oh, I think it's confirmed at this point? All right, well, man.
The fact that this is the type of person who can also do a podcast called, you know, like, let me advise you on money issues. I must stress, most of this is bullshit. Like, most of the podcasting industry Absolutely. Is dudes who are like, I know better than you. Why? Don't ask questions. I just do. Listen to me and give me money. And you're like, why? Well, because the CIA works with Pepsi. That's why. And you're like, for what goal? What is there?
It's
why?
All here in the Taco Bell menu. Yeah, it's all here.
It's all coded.
It's written here in the crispy chicken nuggets.
So for those listening, this is what we are up against every day. Every day.
Why do I even bother to research anything?
That's why we did the magic episode. That's why we did the magic episode. That's why they had me do that.
That's exactly the reason.
That's why they made me do that.
Let's take this out, not on that, but on they UFOs. Forced me. last week, we talked a bit about Lou Elizondo and the new head of the UAP Disclosure Board and all that stuff. And yesterday, that particular new head, Christopher Mellon, put out a statement with a part of that statement that feels utterly and completely directed at Lou Elizondo and what he did. Because Lou Elizondo is no longer even part of the board. He's gone. He stepped down. Basically, he's like, he's excited, blah, blah, blah. We've got these new, you know, people on board. Here's what we're going to do. But this paragraph, he goes, from our side of things, the UAPDF board of directors concurs that no member of our organization will make any public claims regarding UAP without carefully and explicitly delineating what is based on firsthand knowledge versus opinion or belief. Further, we will identify our sources of information whenever possible. In short, we intend to be as clear and as transparent in our practices as we hope and expect the government itself to be with Congress and the American people. Basically, like, no more
bullshit.
I got this picture a few hours before the congressional hearing. We're in here now. Here's a giant UFO that's the size of a fucking football field. He's just like, no more of that shit. Because Lou Elizondo, we already know our opinions on him, but it is a fucking shot to what these guys are trying to accomplish by just stepping out there without vetting it with any of them, having gotten it the day before, a few hours before, whatever he said, and then just whipping it up there and be like, look at this enormous UFO. And it's just a farmer's crop field.
That's so, like, this is really the only possible thing that they could have said that would have made me do anything besides just go, fuck off.
Yep. Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
It's I'm glad to see that. I mean, it just very felt directed at what just happened, which is good.
Good.
And on the other side,
it's like, needed, to be honest.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, it's ridiculous. And then the 3-hour interview with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbel, who we all have mixed opinions on, with Matt Brown, the guy who was the Immaculate Constellation whistleblower, basically. He's like the one that
turns out a lot about real. Him. Yeah.
You learn a lot about him. He's basically been conversing with them for 4 years quietly, trying to do things like Grush, go through lawyers. He's actually, you know, gotten contact with Grush. All of those avenues failed. So they did this interview and he's like, you know, he whistleblowed the Immaculate Constellation thing. It's a lot to go through. We're not going to go over it in detail, but the thing I find interesting is he basically says, like, he thinks that even if it's revealed, like, he wants disclosure. He's like, everybody should fucking know. It's ridiculous. What he's saying is, like, a bunch of really rich fucking billionaires have sort of reverse engineered some of this stuff. And, like, the Tic Tac and stuff might be our tech that they've been, like, testing via, like, gravitational wave stuff. But he says they seem to only have figured out a small, like, rough, like, 1% of how the actual vehicle operates, and they've only it's barely.
Did he really say 1% like that?
He says that, like, he says a fraction of what the original ship is capable of, they've crudely been able to recreate.
Okay,
like
fair enough.
The movement mechanism.
He's not trying to come down on some specific number.
No. That's okay. me giving the. But basically, what he does say is he wants disclosure. He thinks everybody should know, and that he thinks humanity will react as it reacts to everything with indifference.
Going to work and saying crepa to the skies.
Pretty much. He's like, he doesn't know what these things are here for. He doesn't know if the government even knows or really understands what they're here for. He believes that there's multiple things that are interacting with humanity and intelligence. But he's basically saying, like, no, I don't think this is going to be like you tell the world and they're suddenly going to collapse and everything's going to fall apart and religion will disappear and all that stuff. He just thinks that everybody's just going to treat it like they treat everything. And it's just like if they can't wrap their head really around it, they shrug and move on with it.
I don't care what anybody else thinks if I'm convinced, honestly.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. But I find
that what comes out is like conclusive evidence. I don't need everybody to believe me.
He says,
I'm barely there on vaccines at this point with people, you know?
Well, he says the other thing in the interview, which is I find plausible, but obviously it's not evidence that it's what's happening, is that the reason the government doesn't come out and acknowledge the stuff is because they don't know what it is. And by saying they don't know, they project what they perceive as strategic weakness. And if they can figure it out,
yeah,
to the world, because it's a little quiet little race happening between the major nations of like, who can reverse engineer this stuff? To get it operational in a way that they can use it in practical day-to-day terms, and they win. Because whoever can figure out, like, if they can figure out how these things are moving, like via gravitational wave manipulation or whatever, and they can literally move without resistance, they can go underwater and come into the air without disrupting anything. Whoever gets that tech first and like wins the world, they win, because now you can't stop an invasion because it can be over your city in a few seconds without any noise, any evidence on radar, and without you being able to do anything about it, because it can go from 0 to 100 miles an hour and under, like, instantaneously.
I guess. And so, yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
A lot of implication. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like such a weird vibe to have the idea of we're in an arms race to reverse engineer stuff and do all these things.
We did it with the nuke. Right?
No,
that's true.
What?
The Manhattan Project.
It was just a race.
Exactly,
yeah.
What we did with the atom bomb is that we were quietly created a city that not even the president knew about until he was sworn in, and they were racing to make the nuclear bomb. And that's
the thing that doesn't make sense to me is we are reverse engineering craft.
Yeah.
The implication would be that we could not, like, there's a leap in logic that I just cannot get my head around. The idea that, like, step one, are aliens here on Earth?
Right.
Two, are they different from the ones that we see flying above us? And if that's the case, are we reverse engineering craft that is not the same as those flying above us? And if that's
multiple
the case,
mm-hmm.
How are the ones flying above us tolerating the fact that we are operating reverse tech of their people or a distant relative peoples or someone? Like, there's layers to this that I just feel like if I was an alien flying around and I saw them trying to do what I'm doing, I'd be like, no. And at the same time, where did we get the tech? Is it crash tech? Did they not want to recover their crashed ship? Couldn't they just take it? Like, there's so many questions that it doesn't make sense with all the. Right. And again, if it was simple and it was just like, we have aliens, they crashed here, we're reverse engineering them, and that was it, great. But the layers of ufology and alien
lore,
fandom keep adding
the Elden Ring theory videos of it all.
To the point where it's like, you know, it's just like an Elden Ring video where if you watch it, it's like, yeah, when you play Elden Ring, there's maybe three major religions until you realize there's like 12. And they're all old god related. And so, like, it's the same thing here where it's like, okay, yeah, aliens, but you're telling me they're aliens we've found and are trying to create their ships, but also other aliens that may be the same aliens, we don't know.
Plus, they're working with the government, also not, because they don't know what the government's doing. But also, there's a race between, like, there's so many layers that it seems insane. Like, no, it genuinely seems like none of it can be true, because it all sounds made up.
That's why, to me, like, I don't think a government's working with them. I don't think there's much contact or any contact or any, like,
you mean like with the aliens? Contact
beyond, like, trying to figure out how, what, like, signal they might produce. Yeah, with, I don't think the government is talking to, making deals with, and bartering with grays or what have you. I think the honest truth, and I've said, we've said this forever, and I still think it's true, is that they don't really know what this is, and they're trying to figure it out, but these things, whatever science is like they're using, if these things are here, is just beyond their understanding. And there may be multiple things, like there may be something that's literally just related to consciousness, and like that might be something they can't really quantify. And then there's plasmoids that we were talking about a few months back that are just like natural occurring phenomena that display intelligence that we don't really understand. And I think there's multiple things, but I think that much is true. Like, I don't think they really know what's going on. I don't really know what to make of the craft stuff. But it's all hyper compartmentalized under a million different, like, black, you know, budget programs. But it's just, I don't know what to make of this guy, because I haven't been able to find much, like, to make what he's saying about who he is in the government credible, in that, like, to verify he is who he says he is, but there is evidence that he has at least worked with the government. But yeah, I agree with you, Jesse, as well. It's like, there's so many layers of weird lore that is just added on by people like Lou Elizondo, for instance, is a huge problem, where he's added his own layers of bullshit and lore to it. That, how do you take any of it seriously now after all that? Right. And it just muddies the water incredibly.
There's too many questions and not enough answers. And the questions, when you ask them, the answers aren't like legit real answers.
No, exactly. It's all in theory, but the money is going somewhere. There's like, as these things update, we'll keep updating you, but like, it's basically this all the time, you know, like it's weird. We'll see what happens. Grush did lose a security clearance, like all that stuff.
We'll see what happens is pretty solid. That's a pretty solid,
With angle, by the way, with all this said, article this week, all the UFO guys are petitioning Pope Leo, Pope Bob, to finally tell the truth about aliens and prepare the human race for UFOs.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
I mean, Francis did adjust their take on UAP when he was alive, so we'll see.
Let's go.
All right, that's it for us. We're out of here. Thank you guys so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/illuminatepod, or listening wherever you're listening. We'll be back next week with another minisode. Yeah. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.